Okay, so we really revolves around two Mishnayos that are back to back in the Seches Bechoros, the issue of miscarriages. That's as far as I can get. I want to get to C sections also, but that might have to we'll have to wait till next week. So on this page of the tour here, so the tour there Chaf Beis and Chaf Gimel there is really quoting those two Mishnayos, although with one significant exception. So Chaf Beis says Aba Achar Nefalim Shiyatza Rosh Chai, that any that a boy who is born after a Nefel is a stillborn or some a baby that did not make it, right? Shiyatza Rosh Chai. So the Nefel stuck its living head out. So the example that the Torah says is, yeah, like if a woman's having twins, one of them ends up being a nefel, and the other one completes its month. Its months, meaning it's ready to go. So the nefel, the one who's destined not to live, sticks out its living head, and then hichziru, and then brings it back in, and then dies, I guess. Or va'achar kach yatza achiv hasheni. And then the second brother sticks his head out. Shu ben kayaman. He's the one who's going to live. Eno b'chor lepidyon mifnei hanefel shahotzi rosho tchila. So it is not considered a b'chor for the pidyon because the nefel stuck its head out first. Right? So if so far we know that if a living baby sticks his head out first, even if it doesn't come to fruition, the second one is not going to be considered to be subject to pidyon haben. So v'chein, similarly, v'chein ben tes shiyatza rosh omeis haba acharav eno b'chor. So to the 9-month one, the one who made it all the way, and who comes out afterwards, is not going to be considered the b'chor. V'chein hamapeles kimin behema chayav ha'of. So too, if a woman gives birth, I don't know the best word is mapelis, drops, I don't know, she sends out a some kind of creature that looks like an animal, a chaya, an oaf, meaning some kind of an animal or a bird, shechatzi pirtzof penehem doma litzuras adam, like it's sort of like it has a face like a human, but it's not human. O sandal, o shilia, or it sends out a sandal. A sandal is like a totally deformed baby. Oh, and not alive. Oh, Shilia is a,
afterbirth.
Yeah, yeah, right. Afterbirth with the placenta. There you go. Oh, Shapir Merukam, or a developed embryo. Or sent out a baby that was cut up in terms of its evarim, right? Hanolad achar kach elu eno b'chor lepidyon. So all of those also count. Okay, so an undeveloped embryo, and that's going to be the most common one, or a shilia or a placenta, also I guess that could still exist, or any of these other strange looking creatures that come out from her for some reason. So all of those qualify as the Bechor. I mean, all of those qualify as the Peterechem, meaning if a child is born after that, so that does not count, right? That kid is not going to be considered the Bechor.
Are you talking about a woman with twins again, or just has a normal birth? And
so this sounds like it's not, right, so it sounds like it's not twins. I mean, it seems like it's a bit of a question about that, but it seems like it's not twins. I mean, in any of these cases, that child would count as the woman's peter rechem, and therefore any child born after that is not going to be subject to pidyon, is not going to be considered the peter rechem. So that's the first Mishnah in Bechoros. Then a daf later gives you the other Mishnah. He says, Aval ben shmona shehotzi rosho meis. Now, an 8-month-old. Now, this is like a real conundrum out there. There is this concept, you find this like regularly in Gemara, that a baby that only had 8 months gestation is not destined to survive. Now 9 months is... 9 months is totally fine, and 7 months has a good shot as well. But 8 months, for some reason, that's considered to be not going to work. Right?
I never understood.
Yeah, so I'm not sure either. It could have been like some, and like the fact that when the Gemara talks about it a little more in depth, the Gemara does point out, like the Gemara says, well, there are 8 month gestational, babies that seem to be fine and are walking around the world today. It says, oh, no. It must have been a 9 month one, like that came out early or something. I mean, the Gemara itself doesn't seem to like work with that, and like the Gemara itself allows for the possibility that an eight month gestation could be a reality. It's just that a baby that is like a bria of an 8 month gestation, like that is like the natural order is for it to only have 8 months. That's the one that's not going to survive. But it is conceivable that a baby could have 8 months and survive. It just means that it's not like, you know, it's kind of like the witching, like the, you know, the witch trials. Like, you know, if the baby survives, so then that demonstrates that he obviously was not an 8 month gestational, because otherwise he never would have been able to make it. So here he says that if it's an 8 monther, Shahutzi Rosh Omeis, Bahama Peles, Shapir Mole Gavnim, or it is a Mapeles, but filled, like the sack was filled with, I'm not sure, got my Gavnim, I think I have here someplace else, I forgot what that meant, but was filled with water or was filled with blood, meaning it was just a sack filled with nothing, with liquid. So then, Vapelis kimin dagim shkatzim v'ramasim, or the thing that comes out of her doesn't look like an animal, but doesn't look like a mammal, but rather looks like fish or insects. Vapelis yomem hanolad acher kol elu hu b'chor lepidyon, or if she is Vapelis up, it sounds like up to day 40, meaning that it's not going to be developed at all. So any child born after that is a b'chor lepidyon, would be considered a b'chor lepidyon. So you have an odd thing here, meaning this 8-month-old thing, baby, does not count as a peter rechem, and a child afterwards would be a b'chor. Now that's not so relevant, right? Not so easy to understand, but that's not going to come out because we're not really going to label any babies as an 8-month creation. But at least we see the possibility here that just because the child is born, just because there's something real coming out of her, right, it's still not going to be considered enough, sufficient, to cancel out a pidyon ben following. Okay, but, I mean, that's not going to come up so often, but the other ones do. I mean, the 40 day, up to 40 days old, so that we pretty much will consider as if not a baby. And then you have these other things in the middle, right? The mully mayim, mully dum, or, sort of not developed at all, right? So where is that line, right? And this happens regularly, right? A woman has miscarriages, not so irregularly, but after day 40, someplace in that 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 week range. And the child, and like, what is that? Is that considered to be enough? And then she has a boy afterwards, right? So is that going to mean then that she's not going to do pidyon aven, or it would be chayav pidyon aven because she had this thing earlier, right? Does that thing, how do you define, how developed does that child have to be, or that embryo have to be, in order for it to disallow the pidyon aven afterwards? And remember what the rules are, right? The rules are, right, normally we would say, well, safek doraisa l'chamra, we should always try to be machmer on this. But except there's also the motzi mechaver alav araya, that it's a mamonos issue, and therefore we are somewhat hesitant to just say go ahead and do the pidyon aven. In fact, some of that language shows up here. Okay, but that seems to be these two conflicting mishnayos. Now, the important defining shita here is actually found in the Beis Yosef, but in the Bedek HaBayis. I mean, it sounds like he didn't have this originally, and then dug it up later on. So it's this Maharik, right? So I don't know. The most famous shuva of the Maharik is probably the Chukas Hagayim shuva, right? With the doctor coats. That's him. But this is probably up there. I would assume this is probably top five shuvas of Maharik's out there. So Kas of Maharik, Bashorish Kufem Gimel. So in the Beis Yosef, he quotes it.
Oh, I see.
See, in the Beis Yosef, in the Bedek HaBayis, which means that he added it in after the first edition. So he says, Kasam Ha'arik B'shor Shkuf Mem Gimal, Isha Sheyalda Zachar, Achar Sheyipila Nefel, B'soch Ches Shavuos. So what about a woman who has a boy after she had a Nephil within 8 weeks, right? So 8 weeks, 8 times 7, that's 56 days. So it's after 40 days, right? But it's just a little bit after 40 days. So lebi'ilasa, from the time that she had bia. V'she'elas es hanashim, and then she asked the woman, she asked her girlfriends, right? V'idu shehusham hashapir besafel mali mayim. And they said, oh, yeah, look, it looks like a sack filled with water. Right? V'lo hifchinu bo shum rikum evarim. And they didn't find any development of any limbs at all. Rak ro kimin gidim dakim od. It just looked like sinews, like very thin sinews or something like that. V'chein basar, almost like flesh. V'yesh mehem...
No flesh, huh?
So there are some of them who said Shahaya Mali Mayim O Mugla Hine Davar Pashatu Shilfi Edus Hanashim Ein Lachash Mishum Vlad. So there are some who said, it sounds like, I'm not sure who the mehem are, the women who are looking at this, not sure, but so there are some of them who said that it was filled with water, and it's obvious that based on what they wanted to say, right, it wouldn't be considered a vlad. Even though the tour says, now simon kuf tzadi dalid is in hilchos nida, right? So even though the tour says sha'achshav ena nubikim lahavchin b'shapir imhu merukam olav, that nowadays we're not really experts to figure out whether it was developed or not. V'yesh lahachmir litein la yimei tumas leida. So therefore, we would be machmir and impose upon her the tumas leida, right? So tumas leida means that she, especially if there is not much other, Tumas Leida could be a chumar or ikula, but he'll say here, we're going to say that she's machmir, mean the din is in Hilchus Nida, that if anything comes out of her, even if there's not dam, usually there is dam anyways, but even if there's no, technically if there's no dam, we're going to be machmir and say that that you're going to be considered a Nida, and possibly, in this case, even a Yoledes. Right, so apparently there's not much dam, so potentially the fact that she's a tumas yoledes, so that's going to be, we're going to be machmir and say that's at least 14 days, so that's going to be a chumra on hilchus nida potentially. Okay, this is not really coming up bizman azeh, but hilchus nida we're machmir to say that it is a baby that you have to be tumas leida. So says the Maharik, aha. Well, if we're going to be machmir in Hilchos Nida to say that it's potentially a baby, maybe we should also be mesupik in Hilchos Pidyon Aben to say that it's a baby. But he says, no. Pshita d'hainu dafkulin in Isser Nida mishum chumr d'kari. He says, no. That's only because in Nida we're machmir about everything. Right? So therefore we're going to be machmir there. That's a chumr of kari's. But like, we really don't think it's a baby. And we're not going to let you off the hook for Pidyon Aben based on that. Aval kiyotzi bezed d'hainu liftor haba achra mina b'chora nir l'nias daisi d'leke l'meimar hachi. Right, but to say that the same child is, we're also going to say, oh, and it's a baby to the point that you're putter for Pidyon HaBen afterwards, in my opinion, says the Ma'arik, we don't say that. Da'adarabba, yish lahamin isha b'chazaka shlo niftach rachma adayin. He says, because the woman herself has a chazaka, right? What's her chazaka? Her chazaka is that she hasn't had any babies yet. And if she has this thing, this sack, right? So that's a suffix, whether she had a baby. That's not enough to get rid of her chazaka, right? Adayin. V'gam ha-nefel hazeh, b'cheska shelo, nisrakmu ivarav adayin, da chazaka gemura hizu, right? And this animal, this nefel also is b'cheskas not having grown its limbs. Meaning, while we generally would say, it's a suffix whether it has limbs or not, but the starting point for this nephil is that it doesn't have limbs, right? So the thing we know for sure is that it didn't have limbs, right? So therefore, we have two chazakos here, a chazaka that she never had a baby, and a chazaka that this nephil doesn't have limbs, and you need to prove that one of those things changed. And you can't prove that either one of those things changed. So therefore, says the Maharik, the woman's still going to be subject to Pidyon HaBet. Okay, so that is the famous shita of the Maharik in Hilchos Pinyon Aved. So how does this then get quoted lahalacha? So if we turn over here, so the the Shulchan Aruch here says, Ben ches chadashim shahotzi roshu v'hu chai v'chziru v'meis, right, this is the case of the tour, right, oh, ben tes shahotzi roshu afilu achar shemeis v'chuchsar, even after it died, and then comes back in, and then the brother comes out, v'yalda v'lad kayama, enu peterechem, sherei nifta b'roshu shel rishon. That's not considered peterechem, because the first baby is the one who's considered the peterechem, and now he's dead, right? U'mishetetze parchaso, and when he sticks out his forehead, poter haba achra, if he exempts what comes afterwards. V'chein hamapelas kvin behema chayv of. Also, if you give birth to a mammal or a bird or something that looks like a mammal or a bird, right? Shachatzi pirso penehem domel litzuras adam o sandal o shilia o shapir merukam. Shapir merukam is a here he tells you, right? Perish chaticha shel baser ketzuras sandal, like it looks like a deformed piece of flesh, right? Perusha shelo hekis sheuver munach betocho. Okay. Or the baby comes out and its limbs are all cut up, right? Hanolan achar kol echad me'elu einam peterechem. So whoever comes after that is not going to be considered to be a peterechem. So comes the so that's all number one.
Wait a second. So if she has a strange looking baby, the one that comes out afterwards is not. Is that peterechem?
This type of strange-looking baby. So the strange-looking babies here is that the yevarim are cut up. And number two is that or it looks like a mammal, right? Or it was an...
Something developed, it sounds like, is a sort of like something developed more than these giddim.
Right. Right, but if the so but uben ches chadashim shahutzi rosho mace v'amapeles shapir malidam. But if it was 8 months, meaning the first one was, and the grah has an issue with this, but the first one was an 8-monther that stuck its head out. That actually is not in the Mishnah itself. I think the Mishnah at no point quotes anything about 8 months. It's like the Shulchan Aruch is using the 8-month as like a title for a baby that's not going to make it. But if it's a baby that's not going to make it, that just stuck its head out, mace v'amapeles shapir malidam o mali mayim o mali gvanim v'amapeles kimin dagim v'chagavim shkatzim v'ramasim v'amapeles l'yomar baim, right, hanolad achar kol elu b'chor l'pidyon. So in all these cases, so it's a sack filled with blood, a sack filled with water, it's filled with sinews, or it looks like a fish or an insect or something like that, so or it's 40 days or less. So all of those, anything born after that, is going to be considered to be a b'chor l'pidyon. And then adds the Ramah, b'chol zman she'ein evarim merukmim, if the so long as the evarim are not developed at all, ein poter haba achrav v'afilu zman hazeh somchan al zeh. And even today, we rely on this. Okay, so that is the and you see the Ramah here is quoting the Maharik, and that is the pshat, the psak of the Ramah. Okay, so if you see the Grah quickly, wasn't able to understand all that he said, but just quickly he says tur chvodo b'mkoma munach. He says he quoted this thing with the ben ches chadashim. He says the tur is the one bringing up the 8-month thing. It's not in the Mishnah itself. And you know, with all due respect, chvodo b'mkoma munach, the shgaga gedoli. It was a big mistake. Ki beven ches in chiluk b'chol makom bein chai ben meis. He says there's no distinction between the 8-monther, whether alive or whether it's dead. That's not going to make a difference. It's a fully formed baby. And the Gemara says that that's not going to matter. I didn't work through that issue though. What I did find fascinating here is these two Pisrei Tshuvas. So the Pisrei Tshuva here, there is Chaf Ches and Chaf Tes. So Chaf Ches, it's a Rosho Mace, right? That's where the Ben Ches Chadash or Hotzi Rosho Mace. So there's a Va'ayin B'Dagol Miravava, Shekasav. Which actually didn't come to think of it. Oh no, Dagol Miravava is on the side. Okay, on the bottom. Okay, Shekasav Dahacha. Meaning the case here is where it went out, then came back, and then the brother went out. Kigon yoledes tuumim. For example, twins are being born. Aval imnolad kulo. But if it was entirely born, pshita de poter es hanolad achrachach. That would be obvious. That would exempt the child afterwards. De lo gara ben ches meis mi shaper mirokem shapoter es abala achrav. He says, but the 8-month-old baby is no less than a embryo with developed parts in it, right? He says obviously that, and even though the Shulchan Aruch seems to waver on that, and the Torah also, you seem to get a different impression from that, says the Dugal Miravava, no question, right? You see Dugal Miravava on the bottom of the page, he says, right, V'yachsir v'achrach yatza achiv kigon yolas tu'umim, aval im nolad kulo pshuto depoter es hanolad achrachach, de lo gara ben ches meis mishapir rokem shapoter abba achrav. So that's number one. So even though there's some ambiguity in the Shulchan Aruch itself about what the status is of these 8-monthers, that maybe these 8-monthers don't count at all, Dugal Miravava says, no, nothing doing. 8 months is a real thing. Someone told me a line recently that if you ask a yeshiva guy if they believe in evolution, right? So they say, oh, Chas v'shalom, of course we don't believe in evolution. He says, okay, but if you ask them if they believe in shinui ha, what's it called? That the time shinui habrios, right? That the times have changed a little bit. You know, the times have changed from the way we understand the Gemara. They say, oh, that's a shita in Tosfos. that we allow. So where this Ben Ches falls in is a little hard to understand, but the Dugal Miravava, at least in the 1700s, says, no, you know, we're not going to factor that in at all. Okay, but then we get to this Chavtes. She'ein Evarim Merukman, that the Evarim are not developed. So what's here? So I'm b'maharik sham, right? Shorsh kuf mem gimel. This is maharik. We keep quoting. The mashmi dvar that filu im lo hifchinu liros im evarv merukmin eno poter haba achrav. That even if you can't tell, meaning what word the maharik say? The maharik said that, well, if it's a suffix, then you have a chazaka, right? The chazaka is that you're chayiv in pinyon aben. So you need something to be oker that chazaka, to remove that chazaka. So the maharik says, right? Merukmin eno poter haba achrav. V'hu b'chor l'koin, and that would be considered a b'chor l'koin, the mokminan ha'isha al cheskasa, right? Because the woman keeps her chazaka, shalom niftar rachma adayin, v'gam b'nefel b'cheska shalom nisrachmo evarav, right? There's a chazaka that the woman is still hasn't given birth to anything, and that the baby has not yet formed. So the Marik says you're going to be, in these kinds of cases, unless you can be sure of what you see, you're going to be chayiv in pidyon aben. But the ayin b'tshuvas Chacham Tzvi Simon Kuf Dalad, the Chacham Tzvi, right? Who's Chacham Tzvi? What's the most famous tshuva of the Chacham Tzvi? He's the 2-day. He's the 1-day in Eretz Yisrael, 1-day Yontif in Eretz Yisrael shita. He's Rav Yaakov Emden's father, right? So the ayin b'tshuvas Chacham Tzvi Simon Kuf Dalad shecholik al zeh. So the Chacham Tzvi argues on this, and he says mishum darei muchach b'gemara needed af chavtes dika rov neged hachazaka. That if you look in the Gemara in Nida, the Gemara in Nida establishes it as a rove against the Chazaka, Ayin Sham. So I took the liberty of being Ayin Sham in Nida. What's it talking about? So the Gemara there is, there we go. The Gemara in Nida is, that a woman is crossing the river. It gives the case of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says that a woman crosses a river and something comes out of her. So she has to bring a korban, v'nechal, and the korban would be able to be eaten. Meaning she has this thing come out of her, right? And so what is that? So remember, nowadays it's just a question of whether she has to go to the mikvah or how long she has to wait and things like that. Back in the time of the Gemara, right, or back in the time of the Mishnah before that, right, it meant bringing a korban. You have to bring a korban yoledes. So is she going to be chayiv for a korban yoledes here? And remember, it's not so simple to just say, oh, yeah, bring a korban yoledes misafik. Because if you bring a korban yoledes misafik, so that's what we call chulin ba'azara, right? You're bringing chulin yazara, right? And can kohanim eat it? So here he says that a woman who gives birth while crossing a river and she, you know, something falls out of her and she doesn't know where it is, she can't find it. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Shuban Levi says, mevia korban v'nechal. Why? You bring a korban and you can even eat it. I mean, you're bringing it like an bederech vadai. Why? So he says, well, halachacha rov nashim vlad ma'alya yalda. He says, well, because we follow the rov, right? And most women, so they give birth to healthy children. They give birth to actual children. They don't give birth to fish and bugs and whatever. They give birth to real children. So therefore, that's a rov. When you have a rov against a chazaka, the rov beats out a chazaka, according to almost everybody. So says the Chacham Tzvi, yeah, so therefore you have a rove against the Chazakah, so therefore you would have to be, this embryo is besafik a nolad, and therefore you would not be subject to Pinyon HaBen, right? The Gerov Neged Chazakah, Ayin Sham. And Gabbat Shuvah Shvus Yaakov also, Chil Kasim Pei Gimel, Hisig Al Maharik Bazeh, also asked that question, I'm not sure what this is, Ber Hetiv Shel Rav Maharit. So it's not the Ber Hetiv here on the page, it's a different Ber Hetiv apparently. Hevi Divreim Biktzara. So they bring their ideas in short. So the Chacham Tzvi and the Shvus Yaakov are both coming up and saying, hey, we have this Gemara in Nida that seems to assume that most women do give when something comes out of them, it's a real baby. So therefore, we have to assume that what she had before is a real baby, and therefore whatever comes later is not going to be subject to Pinyon HaBen. And remember, whenever there's a Safek, we go Lekula here. So he says, "V'ayim etshuvas no de Yehuda tinyana chelik yordeya simin kuf beiches shaharich baze v'dachad divrayim v'halak gadas harik," and holds like the Maharik. So this no de Yehuda I found interesting. It's actually not the no de Yehuda, but I have put this on the source sheet. I guess it's page number 4 or so. So the no de Yehuda here is simin kuf beiches on the. As you start on the right side, and you can see already on top, Tshuvas mi ben hamachaber, right? So the second volume of the No Debi Yehuda was not published during the No Debi Yehuda's lifetime. It was published by his son, Rav Shmuel, who my father tells me is my great 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 grandfather, right? Yeah.
We think that.
Okay. So he's the one who published this volume, and he took the liberty of adding his own Tshuvos throughout as well. So this one, he says where it's from him. And if it's, sometimes it's not always published in the beginning that it's from him, but you can see who signed the tshuva, whether it's signed by him or signed by his father. So here in Simen Kuf Pei Ches, so he says, I was asked from one of the people of our community, meaning here, and it sounds like. Since I got the Shaila in Prague, right? Adas ishto she pila ches shvuos achar tvila, right? A woman who gave birth also 8 months after her tvila. So she's been pregnant for 8 months. Eight weeks, right? She nefel mimena chaticha achas velo hibita bo, couldn't figure it out. Velo shma liba liros imhu shapir oshilia, right? She couldn't even shama liba means like have. She didn't have the heart to go see whether it was a shilya or not. V'nishar chaticha b'tocha simla v'nasa simla im shar kli pishtan l'choveses nachris. So she was in some kind of sack or some kind of like a cloth. So, and she didn't want to look at it, but she wrapped it up and gave it to her non-Jewish cleaning woman. Right? V'chasher hikzira es ha simlos, and when she returned it, Safra lahaisha mesiach lefituma. She responded to the woman mesiach lefituma, which means without prompting. Shematza besocha simlos chaticha achas veikira bashehu nefel v'haya ben zachar. Right? She says, not only, I looked at, by the way, you had a sack in there, you clearly miscarried, and in case you're wondering, the baby was a boy. So.
At 8 weeks.
Right. Vayihilat kufas hashana nisavra ha'isha shenis v'yal deben. So it was about a year later, the woman got pregnant and then had a baby boy, v'shal avia ben. So the father came to me and asked me, could we rely on this non-Jewish woman cleaner to tell me that the child was a nefel and therefore this child is going to be pater from pinyon haben. So Vaharisi, so Rabbi Shmuel Landau says, no, shechayev liftos espinoazeh v'hu b'chor paterechem. No, I hold your chayev. Right? And he quotes the Ramah. And then he says, he quotes the Ramah, v'im nechshav zeh l'safik, v'im namin l'divrei ha'koveses, v'im haya nefel shavar mirukun. And if you say, well, maybe we should believe her, meaning this is even stronger than the case of Maharik. Because in this case, not only do you have the Maharik's testimony, not only do you have the Safik, but you have this non-Jewish woman cleaner is telling you what he saw. So he says, "Achar isi ma'arik sham shor shufamim shapasuk biisha sheipila shapir velo ro imavri." Didn't see it. Eino poter asaba achrav hu b'chor l'koin. Right? He establishes the case of ma'arik. In this case, also we establish the woman becheska shelo niftar rachma, that she never had a baby. V'gam hachaticha becheska shelo nisrachim. Also the chaticha is bechazaka that it didn't develop. V'ben hazeh hu becheskas b'chor l'koin v'chayiv aviv dosa. So therefore, this new baby boy is considered becheskas chayiv and pinyon abet, and therefore you got to go ahead and do this. says, but then I saw the truth of the Chacham Tzvi, right? The Chacham Tzvi that he argues on the Arik, and he quotes the Gemara Meseches Nida that we quoted before, that you have the Rov against the Chazaka. But then he says, Vani Omer, in the second to last paragraph in the line, says, but I say, Kvodu Shehagon Chacham Tzvi b'mkomo. Right? Which is another way of saying, with all due respect, right? With all due respect to the Chacham Tzvi. The Chacham Tzvi was, I don't know, what, about, the Chacham Tzvi, I don't know if they overlap even? I'm not even sure if they overlap. They were close. Well, the Noda Yehuda was a contemporary of Chacham Tzvi's son. And Chacham Tzvi, I don't think the Rav Yaakov Emden, I think the Chacham Tzvi was Nifter before the, like 1703, someplace in that range. So they overlapped a little, but not much. But anyways, but Maj Lukos Pisco Shamarik, the Inani Roesh Shum Stira Misugizu. He says, I don't see any problem. The Ha Gemara Parich Al Hachter Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Because if you look in that Gemara, yes, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says that every child that, right, that we have to be concerned that the embryo, that whatever this woman exuded is really a child. And not only that are we concerned, but the woman brings a korban. But the Gemara itself asks a question on Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and says he's wrong. Right? Masisin Nistanim Inu Yadua Im Vlad Haya. Chashev lezachron lekeva ulanida amai chashev lanida, right? Nema rov nashim vlad ma'alya yaldan umeshani hagemar masisin lo huksak uvra v'chikam Rabbi Shuvan Levi kashosak uvra im kain divrei hagemar adkan divrei hagemar ayin sham. That if you look in the Gemara asks a question. It says, what do you mean? We often don't know if it's a boy or a girl and we treat it as suffolk and things like that. And the Gemara responds by saying, oh, Rabbi Shuvan Levi was talking about where there was a real. Where there was a chazaka that she was pregnant already, meaning that everybody knew that she was pregnant, and that she, I guess she was showing, which I think we assume to be about 12. Oh, he says it actually. What does that mean? Huksak uvra. What does it mean that she's has a chazaka of being pregnant? But Omrani, the ain lanu lafarish peirush acher elisha asa aleha shlish yemei uvra. We'll consider it to be. One third of the days of her pregnancy, the hainu shlosha chadashim shleimim, 3 full months. V'huka over l'chol roa osa, and she's available to all that see her. Now, full disclosure, I don't assume a woman is pregnant until there's a baby born, right? But he says, apparently, my ancestor felt able to tell if a woman is pregnant already after 3 months is. After 3 months have gone by. But anyway, so that is the shear. So you're stuck now in this, you sort of have a machlokas now, from up to 40 days, even the Chacham Tzvi says, we're not going to be choshesh for. After 12 weeks, even the Noda Yehuda, or the, even Rav Shmuel Landau holds that that the woman, the child born after is not going to be subject to Binyan Aben. The question then is, what about in the middle, right? Which is really where most of these questions come up. Was generally speaking, within 40 days, the woman didn't necessarily know that she was pregnant. I mean, it's not even like really an issue. Up to 12 weeks, though, so then there's often something that comes out. Do we look at what comes out? Do we not? Like, what exactly? Where do we come down on this issue? So if we take a look here, if we continue on back in the Piskei Tshuva, so on page 3. So we had the Noda Yehuda quoting the Maharik and passing like that, and this is his din, okay, and then, period. And that's the end of the Piskei Tshuva. He quotes this Noda Yehuda. And then he says, then in the brackets, he then quotes the Chassam Sofer, right? So remember, the Piskei Tshuva didn't have an edition of the Chassam Sofer for his first printing. He only had for the second printing. And that's why the Chassam Sofer always appears in brackets. So he says, V'ayim b'tshuvas Chassam Sofer, Simon Reish Tzadi Tes, Tshuva Arucha. He has a long tshuva about this. Therefore, we have to really thank the Piskei Tshuva for giving us his summaries, right? V'ala da'ikr ledina b'im heipila v'ubadkua hanashim v'tzitzu bo she'enu merukam chayiv me'ikr adin. Bipidium. He says, first of all, if she has something and the woman actually look at it and they tell you that it's not developed at all, so chayiv and pidyon have been afterwards. V'im yirtza lachush al divrei chacham tzvi. Now that the chacham tzvi wouldn't agree with that. He says, if you want to be choshish for the chacham tzvi, and he quoted the chacham tzvi shan the palig, right? Skip the parentheses, right? Mishum safik bracha. On the third wide line, he says, "Mishum safek bracha yomer b'li shemu malchus." He says, "Well, you could do it. You could be machmir like that, meaning give the money to the Kohen anyways, but you'd have to be machmir for, you shouldn't say the bracha with Shemu Malchus. But Amnam, he says, what about Shechianu though? He says, Shechianu the Kohen could make. Right? V'yotzias avia ben. The Harei, why? Because remember, we had this Gemara at the end of Maseches Pesachim where there's a question, who makes the Shechianu? Does the Kohen make the Shechianu or does the father make the Shechianu? And we passing that the father makes the Shechianu. But what would be the Havamina that the Kohen should make the Shechianu? Well, the Kohen is the one who gains from the deal. Right? He's the one who makes some money. So therefore, he certainly can make a Shechianu. We just have the father do it instead. But if the father can't, so then Chassam Sofer says, well, the Kohen Gadol is making money here. So he can make a Shechianu then, and he could be Yotze the father. Right, she'enu ela berachas hanenin v'im kein yivarech avi aven v'yotzi es hakohen b'berachaso avalhecha. Well, he says first of all, he says possibly the father could buy new clothing and he could make the shachim that way. Avalhecha shelo yachol avi aven levarech mishum sveika al kopani yivarech hakohen al hana v'yotzi es avi aven b'berachaso on the mehecha shelo ro klal kamo benidun hasheila beuvda didei as im huksakum yivarech pshita de inkan lekohen klum. He says, but if you didn't actually see anything, so then if we know she was pregnant, so then the father doesn't get the Kohen doesn't get anything. Achim yesh safek ashir chazaka muveris need ein the Kohen misafek mikol malkum yirtzel letzitzi chavasa shemayim midi kol sveikos yitin the Kohen amanas lahachzir v'lo yivarech klal v'afilu Kohen lo yivarech shechian. If you want to be yotzi, if it's a real safek, so then you can give it to the you give it to him. So right, and you pointed out all along, right, what to do in the case of a safek pidyun aven is a bit of a question. Some say if it's a safek at all, we don't do it. Right here, you clearly the Chassam Sofer talks about doing a pidyon haben and not making a bracha on it, and I think that is, Rav Shechter b'chvodo munach, right? With all due respect, Rav Shechter is a big saying no motzim yechira levaraya. It never would happen, right? Clearly, the Chassam Sofer and others assume that sometimes you wouldn't do a pidyon haben without a bracha.
So the Kohen is the one who's claiming that to get his money, so he claims that you need a pidyon.
Yeah, so the person who's giving up the money, he says, well, bring me a raya. So he can't bring a raya, so he went,
right.
So I put on from the Nishmas Avram. So here he goes through this sugya, right? He quotes the Chacham Tzvi, and actually comes out right at the top right column, he says the Kohen says the Shechianu blessing at the same time, exempting the father from the obligation to say it. There's also the ruling to Rechaim Avnei Nezer Zecher Simcha, as if possible, it would be better if the Shechianu blessing could be said on a new fruit or garment, and you could put them together. Then, although many Achronim, right, have ruled that such a baby is completely exempted from a pinyon event, and even if the father wishes to act strictly and misuse his money, he should redeem the son without a blessing, right? So Rav Avadya Yosef rules that he should redeem him and say the bracha. Why? This is the minhag in Yerushalayim, and the rule is that although wherever there is a matter of doubt, a blessing is not said, this does not apply when a minhag is involved. So I was like, oh, I want to see what this is, except it's not in Rav Avadya's Svarim, it's in Lev Avram. I'm not sure what that is. There is a Chayos Teshuvas Lev Avram, but I don't know, I'm surprised he'd be quoting Rav Avadya Yosef. I didn't have a chance to look that up. But, so what's he saying? He's saying, well, the minhag is to do a pinyon aben even these cases of sveikos. So once that's the minhag, so then you can make a bracha, because that's the minhag. It sounds strange to me. I want to see that inside, but that is a very interesting concept. I mean, what happens nowadays? It happens nowadays that people want to do the pinyon aben, and right, and if you say, hey, why are you not doing a pinyon aben? So either it can, you know, either it's because somebody's a Kohen or a Levi, or you had a C-section, right? Or you had a miscarriage, and people don't often like to say that they had a miscarriage. So, like, you sort of want to have an opinion on Ben, right? What's another couple $1,000 on a party, right? So it's interesting, right, that the Rav Yosef says to... that, well, the minhag is to do it. So once the minhag is to do it, you can go ahead and do a bracha on it. I believe it's also about, I remember talking to Rav Sabalowski once also about a Safek Pinyon Aben. And he, I remember, I think it was about a Safek Pinyon Aben that he commented to me that, you know, sometimes it's not a good idea to tell Balabatim to do a mitzvah without a bracha, because once they're doing it without a bracha, so then, like, it just loses everything. Like, they're just like, what are we doing here? So even though, like, as even the Mishnah Berurah in plenty of cases will say, oh, you can do it without a bracha, but it's a suffix, we're not sure, so do the mitzvah, right? You tell people that aren't big learners about that, they look at you like you're crazy. What's the biggest proof of that? The biggest proof of that is probably Shmini Atzeres, eating in a sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. I think Rav Soloveitchik actually made a comment that, like, he thinks that the idea that the Rabbanon said that you should eat in a sukkah without a bracha, right, that they regret not doing the bracha, because it came to the point that, like, people assume that you don't really have to eat in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. So that's his, he complains about that. He thinks they messed up with that. And in the Sefer opinion of Ben Kehilchasa, so he quotes both opinions. So I just put, he has a, you know, a 5-6 page discussion on this where with thick footnotes, but I put on the last page here, Lisikum, as a summary, in Vadai, if certainly 40 days haven't gone by, so meaning from the time of her Tvila, right? We don't have to concern for that of Vlad, and afterwards you'd be chayv opinion for sure. If certainly 3 months have gone by, Hareza Vlad Gamor, Vava achra pater opinion. Im avru mem yom velo malu adayin gimel chadashin liyivura. Right, if 40 days have gone by, but 3 months have not, and we have a question far over a love, nechaklu aposkin bedino viskimu shaba achri yifteyu ach below bracha. And it seems to me the maskana is that you do it without a bracha. Although I think there is a tendency, my sense out there is that there is a tendency to do it with a bracha, or perhaps to maybe bifurcate it a little bit, meaning 40 days, if it's 41 days, we'll say it probably wasn't tukur evra, or maybe even see what comes out, or things like that. But I think the general consensus minhag today is to be a little bit more forthcoming with babies that are with if there was a miscarriage, certainly close to 40 days, 40 days, 50 days, 60 days, something like that. Once you get closer to 3 months, so then maybe it would be more makil, or I don't know what we'd say, either not to do it or to do it without a bracha or things along those lines. Although this is like a very sketchy area, and everybody should ask their own posik what they think of these situations. Okay, yeah. The next thing I see is C-sections, but I assume next time we should be able to wrap up Hilchos Pinyon HaBen. Pinyon HaBen, not have a couple. Yeah, I think we have Petr Chamor still to deal with, or Behemoth Tahora to deal with, but we should be able to finish up Pinyon HaBen next week. Okay, good evening. Yeah,
good night.
It's a long day.
Thank you.